I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dijanovic. By Saturday, the Colonial Pipeline, it was back to normal. If you remember, the Colonial Pipeline had been shut down for days after a computer hack kept millions of gallons of fuel per hour from being pumped to the East Coast.
And it cost Colonial about $5 million as a ransom to pay to the cyber criminals to get things working again. Though they are still having some problems there on those East Coast stations, struggling with those shortages. That shut down 5,500 miles of pipeline before they got it up and running again.
So we had to figure out, what does this mean to Utah? Has this affected us at all? Could it? Do we have pipelines in Utah? I'm going to be honest, I don't know. I don't know what we have here. So we thought we'd reach out to the Utah Petroleum Association. Ricky Horenko Browning joins us right now. Ricky, thank you so much. We do know that on the East Coast, there's still widespread fuel shortages across several states. Does this affect Utah at all?
Thanks so much for having me. And the good news for those of us here in Utah is no. Thankfully, we're in a much better position than our friends over in the East Coast. And one big difference is really the five refineries that we have here locally that are producing gasoline for our vehicles, as well as diesel and jet fuel for the airport, for Hill Air Force Base, that's really coming both from local production of crude, as well as those five refineries. And yes, we do have pipelines here in the state as well. But the good news is that those refineries are able to produce more than what our state actually uses. So we've got some pipelines in and some pipelines out that also give us some added security.
So I want to look then at our gas prices, because we have those refineries. And over the years, as we've had discussions in Utah about gas prices all of a sudden jumping up to different levels while other states haven't. And right now we see that the average national average is $3.04. And in Utah, it's $3.35. I think I filled up for about that much, maybe a couple cents smaller with my Maverick card. But so why then do we see this kind of higher price here in Utah right now?
So gas prices are complicated. They're really driven by market forces, but I can assure you that it doesn't have anything directly to do with the Colonial Pipeline issue in the East. It's probably good to take a look at what pipelines we do have, where our fuel comes from, and where it goes to. So here in the state, our Salt Lake refining market comes from three main sources. The most significant is from within the state, from the Uinta Basin, and that crude oil is all trucked into the Salt Lake refining market. We do also have two crude oil pipelines that supply additional feedstock. We've got the Chevron line that runs through the Uinta Basin and delivers crude from the Rangeley Field in Colorado, and then the Plains pipeline, which delivers crude from Wyoming and from Canada. So we do have some diversified fuel sources coming into the state, and then we have a finished product pipeline that carries refined fuels, so finished products, from the Sinclair refinery up in Wyoming into Salt Lake. And one thing that definitely impacts gas prices here along the Wasatch Front is that we also have two product pipelines that carry finished product out of Utah. So there's the Northwest Products Pipeline, which supplies markets in Northwest. It goes all the way up to Northeast Washington. And then the UNEV line, which delivers products to Cedar City and Las Vegas. So when we look at the price of gas, it's not just based on fundamentals right here along the Wasatch Front, but also in those other destinations where we have markets.
Were we able to ship any fuel to the East Coast to help out with some of their shortages?
Unfortunately, no. We don't have pipelines that head that direction that go east. The U.S. is divided up into different regions for petroleum products, and we're quite far from them. So there hasn't been too much interaction. I know that there's been a lot of trucking of fuel into those markets as needed. Perhaps there could be some small-scale impact in terms of trucking supply or availability of drivers here, but not a significant impact.
You mentioned the trucking. AAA Utah spokesperson told us last week on KSL Radio that there was a shortage of truck drivers, and that might actually kind of play into it. I was thinking, too, about the different reasons historically. My uncle trying to explain to me the summer blend and the winter blend. Though, in all this discussion, I still think about that cyber attack. And with our differences here, are we vulnerable to any kind of outside attack that would affect us?
Well, you know, we do depend upon those crude pipelines that come in. Refineries need to eat a very specific diet, essentially. There's a little bit of flex to that, but they're really geared to eat a specific composition of fuel. And we have made significant investments in our Salt Lake refineries to eat more of the Utah crude oil, but they still need blend stock with other crudes. So if one of those two crude pipelines coming into the state of Utah were to have a similar attack or disruption for whatever reason, that could create some disruption and some spikes in pricing here in the Salt Lake market. And we actually saw that. It was several years ago. But there was a landslide, and the Plains pipeline was shut down for safety reasons. There was no safety impact. It was purely out of a precautionary stance. But what we did see was a need to bring in crude for several weeks, both by truck and by rail. And certainly that did have some price implications at the time. But the good news is that we have two crude pipelines coming in, and even if one of those crude pipelines were shut down, we do have rail and trucking options to get fuel here. And we really are advantaged by having those five refineries here in state to produce fuels, much less dependent purely on pipelines.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ricky Renko Browning with Utah Petroleum Association. That's great to know. I'm sorry I didn't know about the pipelines. I'm not exactly sure how it comes in, how it goes out. All I know is when I roll up to the pump, I just like to complain about how much it costs. So I'll stop my complaining. I know it's tough. Everyone's doing as best they can. But it was interesting that because we're so far away from the East Coast, we weren't able to help out. We're just too far away, and it's too difficult to ship all that fuel over to the East Coast. So they're kind of left on their own. Things are back to normal on the Colonial Pipeline, but there are still shortages across several states that they're dealing with. But here in Utah, so far, so good.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.